Here we go. I'm doing this. Yeah. And we're talking to Jesse Sierra Ross. And that is the beautiful melodic name, Jesse Sierra Ross.
Thank you.
I had a friend who was Southern, and she insisted on having her whole name used, and it was Elizabeth Ann. I mean, you had to use both names. So, but I, her last name was Kerman, and so I titled her EAK, and she was not pleased. So,
Oh
anyhow,
my goodness.
yeah, you're something of a phenom, I have to say, with a very interesting background, including you were a ballet dancer. And I'm telling you, I was shocked because I was head of a modern dance company for a while, and for a long while actually. And I mean, they ate like a lettuce leaf. They were not into food. So you're kind of a phenomenon in that. How do you reconcile that? Because they were always concerned with their weight.
It's a fascinating sort of story, right? Because you think professional ballet and then food, and they do not go hand in hand
No.
necessarily. But being essentially a professional athlete for many years of my life,
Yes.
nutrition is important. And so we ate simply, and there was quite a bit of pressure to maintain that figure. But
Right.
when I left professional dance, I made up for lost time and lost coffee.
Well, I mean, I pressured kids on this, the image of them as athletes. I mean, I did it to make sure they stayed on the central on the central path here. So, but anyhow, this is your, I'm trying to remember, is this your first cookbook?
This is, but I do have a background in food blogging and creating
Yeah,
food TV segments.
what bring our listeners up to date on the fact that you've done television, blogging, just a brief elevator speech on your background.
Oh yeah, so I transitioned from professional ballet when I started to have and grow my family. And I realized that when I moved out of the city to a farm and table landscape of Western Massachusetts, that I had a lot of time and a lot of energy, and I needed a project because I had two little toddlers baby babbling, each ear. And I realized that I love cooking. I love home entertaining. And what started off as a project to just a hobby turned into this amazing creative endeavor with Straight to the Hips Baby that was channeled into TV, print, and now a cookbook.
I've done a fair amount of TV as well, and writing, but I kind of like the phone. It just shifts the emphasis, really, doesn't it? I mean, I used to get half of the mail I used to get from my TV show had to do with my hair.
Well, I have gotten several comments on, how I did my hair that day or perhaps the color of
Yeah.
my blouse. But being a performer, I'm ever the consummate professional. But you're right. It's about communication and really imparting that passion for what you're interested in. And for me, it's all about from scratch cooking and home entertaining.
Well, I mean, something about this book that's really very special is how meticulously you guide people into this entertaining. I mean, the last dinner party I had, I said to a friend who was here at the time, "This is the last time I'm polishing this silverware." But for years we went all out. I mean, I love your tablescapes because I used to spend an inordinate amount of time designing tablescapes for these dinner parties. I mean, I remember, for some reason, people give me a lot of ceramic animals, and so I was creating on mirrors, which I loved mirrors, putting what we're having for dinner in the form of little ceramic animals,
That's so
like a
cool.
lamb, sheep, or a pig. But people don't seem to do that anymore.
Well, I think that there's been a process over time, right? That is becoming a very lost art that people frankly just don't have a ton of time, or perhaps they feel there's too much pressure to create these really elaborate, time-consuming tablescapes and holiday menus. And my whole ethos is no. If you use this streamlined formula for creating beautiful floral-inspired tablescapes using items that you already have in your home, and they're set, they're themed, they have color story, they have light, they have texture, and they really translate the event that you're throwing to your guests, you're creating not only a beautiful tablescape, but you're really creating an original food experience for your loved ones.
Right. I mean, I'm with you. I sort of agree with that too. I don't know why people have abandoned it. I mean, the other thing is, like, nobody seems to know how to set a table now, even. And so I had a funny episode with my grandson a couple of years ago. He's now, I think, 14. But anyhow, I showed him where everything went, with the placement of silverware. I mean, thinking maybe he'd be interviewing for a job and just have to know what fork to use, So, but I did the whole works. I put the forks and I put the knives, and then I put the dessert spoon and fork at the top and explained that this was for dessert. So never thought more about it. He came down for dinner later, and we weren't didn't put anything up there, and he said, "Oh
But it's so
no," because it
important. I
meant
mean,
no
it's
dessert.
oh goodness, no, that every dinner needs a dessert, but that's the thing is, so the way we create modern home entertaining, it can be what you want it to be. It can be the level of formality that you feel comfortable with. Then that's something I emphasize in the book, is you can do informal, formal, something in between, break out all the silver and the china and, your crystal, or it could be, mismatched vintage pieces or something that's a little bit
Yeah,
more
that's sort of
whimsical.
popular right now.
Exactly. It's all about going through the process and holding the event, because we don't want to let that idea, none of us are going to be hosting the King of England, but we will be hosting our friends. And don't let that sort of formality stop you from creating an amazing party.
It's fun to see people's expressions when they approach a well-designed tabletop. Yeah, I mean, it's really it changes their experience enormously, I think.
I agree.
Does this publisher, I noticed they have a lot of books having to do with flowers. Do they specialize in that sort of thing?
So Schiffer Publishing, or Schiffer Books down in Pennsylvania, they're a great imprint, a great publishing house. They do a lot of craft and art-focused books, as well as several types of cookbooks. But I believe this is the first cookbook, or rather book, that's ever combined all of those arts into one really, I think,
Okay,
really
well, this
stunning
is
cookbook.
special. Well, I mean, the photographs are stunning in this book, as are your tablescapes, of course, and the food. I want to get back to the food. Are these recipes that you always make, or did you come up with a bunch of special ones for the book?
That's a really awesome question. So, for me, cooking is about telling a story. Oftentimes, it's a story of my family and generations that came before me. My grandmother and my mother and my mother-in-law, they were all amazing hosts and cooks. And so, for the recipes in the book, what I tended to do was take my family favorites and reinterpret them, as
Oh,
well
great.
as all original recipes that I created and tested, and I serve at all of my holiday functions, because it's something that's near and dear to my heart.
Well, I mean, I want to emphasize to the listeners that, I mean, there is a lot of lifestyle and whatnot and art in this book, but the recipes themselves are fabulous.
Thank you.
Really great recipes. Do you have any favorites? I mean, I just count. I found, I looked up the event. So yeah, maybe I should just backstep a minute. How did you organize it around events, actual themes, right?
Very much. So I am a big fan of seasonal eating. It's how I grew up. Even though I grew up in the city of Boston on one of the last plots of open
Exactly.
acreage, my parents still had a garden. But when I moved to Western Mass, where we're living this farm to table lifestyle, I changed and I started eating seasonally. So with these recipes and these themes and these tablescapes, what we've done is for the four seasons, every season has four holidays. And for each of those holidays, it's an original tablescape and theme, as well as four to five original recipes. So it's a full menu. So with the holidays coming up, we have a Thanksgiving tablescape with a full Thanksgiving menu. We head into
Yes.
Christmas and Christmas Day brunch, and we have amazing recipes like the giant gingerbread cinnamon roll and white hot chocolate with little peppermint pieces on it. And we also dive into those more elegant events, say, a Mother's Day brunch where you're layering flowers and spoiling mom, or even, a summer holiday like a July 4th cookout. We're headed to the barbecue. It's all about elevating your traditional holidays and giving it a new twist, because whether you're an experienced home cook and host or someone who's just getting going, this book gives you ideas, but it really encourages you to build on what I created to make every event your own.
Oh, your instructions are so lucid, and I mean, I don't know how you could have made it any more direct and simple for people to follow than you did, because they're wonderful. And you
Thank you.
really, yeah. So I keep turning this page. I'm absolutely fascinated with these glasses that you have for your cucumber jalapeno margarita. Now, what
Oh,
are
that's a
they? They're
favorite.
gorgeous.
So
I tell you, my mother, by the way, was a big entertainer, but she went kind of backwards from what you do when you see what you have at the table. She would make up what she wanted to serve for food, and then she'd go and buy all the stuff. So as a result, I have closets, cupboards full of glasses and china. I keep trying to give them away. My daughter-in-law took some, and most younger people don't want them.
Oh, but that's something I want to change. See, I am fortunate. I have inherited, several sets of great grandmother's china and
Yeah, I have that.
crystal compote bowls and things from my mother-in-law, and each piece has a story. But I love and I encourage people to dust off those pieces, bring them to the table. It's like bringing grandma to the table. You can talk
Oh,
about the
yeah.
memories and the dinners before. And, the glasses you mentioned, those are
Yeah,
a
what
modern
about
set
those?
that I
I've
bought.
never seen anything like them.
So they're a modern set. They, you can probably find them at most box stores, but this is the thing. What I try to do is give you little tips and tricks to elevate your plating game. Those glasses have a quick swipe of simple syrup, which is like a sugar syrup that we use to sweeten
Yeah.
cocktails. And then I rolled it in dried petals.
Oh, is
All the
that
little
for
colors
real
of
then,
dried
petals?
petals. Yes, real
I'll
petals.
be
They have a
darned.
very floral taste. And they're gorgeous. And this is the thing, home entertaining can be as fancy as you like, but it doesn't have to be fussy. It can create this, amazing bespoke experience without breaking a sweat.
Are any of these recipes in here something you developed especially just for the book? I mean, are they new to you?
Yes, a majority of them are new, but they're brand new. They haven't been featured anywhere else because I really do believe that eating well and creating these scenes, I want to give something special to my readers and my audience. There are a couple of old standards that I adore and I could not think about not including, which includes that spicy cucumber and jalapeno margarita that my family absolutely demanded be included.
Really? I have to try that
A
because I
favorite
like
drink.
margaritas.
Oh, I do too.
Unfortunately, back to your ballet years, a margarita is something like 1,500 calories.
We don't have to tell anyone in.
I mean, you're so creative with these. Like, I love this pumpkin pretzel blondies with chocolate candies. I can't get back that one. And that just came to mind. I mean, how did you develop that?
Oh, it's I like creating food that's appealing to all ages and all levels, and also introducing new flavors and techniques to people. So that pumpkin blondie was a riff on something I make during Halloween, which is like a pumpkin cake with cream cheese frosting. But for me, I find it a little bit too sweet. My kids love it. And I said to
Oh.
myself, how can I make this interesting and a little bit nostalgic for me? Because we have memories of going trick-or-treating. And I said, oh, I know, sugar-coated chocolate candies and pretzels. And you mix it up, and it's so fun, and there's a lot of texture, a lot of sweetness, but not so sweet as the original version that I made for my kids. So it's about adapting, really, and really playing with flavor.
Right. Run this through just so the listeners can get it. Oh, before I get that, I want to say that you also have a section in the book that helps people select for special diets. I mean, you say they can do that on their own, but then you also have a section which tells them what to look for and how to eliminate things that would go against their required diets. Yeah, I wanted to
Absolutely.
say that. But back to, I mean, let's, it's Thanksgiving season. So do you have a Thanksgiving thing here? Yeah.
I do. My favorite
Let's,
holiday.
yeah. It's your, yeah, here it is, the Thanksgiving feast. Now, I mean, pretty much everybody has the same things on Thanksgiving. And let's hear it for the green bean, cream of mushroom soup casserole.
It's an old favorite, absolutely. But, again, we want to update. Why not have fun? So, instead of having that wiggly jiggly canned cranberry sauce, which I'm from New
Okay.
England, it's part of our life here, but I used whole berry cranberries and made it into a sauce with pure maple syrup, orange, and cinnamon, and it is out of this world. It's about, creating new traditions while maintaining those old favorites.
I'll never forget. We were out for, with friends at friends' home for dinner, and for Thanksgiving, and she served. I mean, I kid you not, she served this cranberry sauce. On a flat platter, and right out of the can, with the ridges of the can
Yep.
on it. The most exciting thing about it was to see whether it could make it from one end of the table to the other without falling on
That's
the
very true. It is pretty slippery.
Okay, so here we are at Thanksgiving, and what are you having here? You're having cranberry Aperol spritz. How you got the cranberries in there in a new way was is fascinating. Then you have the cranberry sauce with orange and maple syrup. And then you have sourdough bread stuffing with turkey sausage and cranberries, which that certainly pushes the stuffing category up a notch, more than a notch. And then your turkey itself, followed by apple and pear crumble, sort of an easier letdown at the end of a meal that's that heavy, right?
And it's also very easy to make. It has all the flavors of a classic apple pie with a butter crust, but it's a quarter of the work. And that's a big deal when you're hosting a large dinner, because oftentimes we are tied to the kitchen stove for the entire event, cooking and cleaning and pouring and serving, and we never get to the table to actually enjoy our guests and the meal. So for me, I want to streamline everything, focus on those recipes, one or two star recipes as I call them, and then supplement with delicious but simply prepared side dishes so that we can really get out there and enjoying in the party.
Yeah, the turkey looks beautiful. I mean, it really does,
Thank you.
with the
That's a
pomegranate
real turkey.
sections. It's real turkey. It looks like a real
It's a real
turkey, yes.
turkey. Yep.
It was a real turkey.
It was, and it was
That
promptly enjoyed.
I'm glad. So I turned on to I've never seen a summer solstice recipe. And our wedding, it's actually the 22nd of June, but we always attach it to summer solstice. No, I can't find it here. But what possessed you to, do people celebrate it, really?
Well, that is also my wedding anniversary, June
Oh, is
22nd.
it really?
It
the
is. It is.
I'll be darned.
Yep.
What
and
does that
it
do?
Was. Well, it's summer. I mean, how much, you know, how much joy can we take from the sun returning and brightness and flowers and fruit? You know, a summer solstice party, I felt like it was a great excuse to gather with my girlfriends in a garden. And those are my actual friends that are in the photographs. They're my near and dear.
Oh,
friends.
Really? Oh, that's
and
great.
And it's in my best friend's, one of my best friend's yards that we set up a luscious table filled with fruits and flowers and sweets. What you don't see is that all the little girls, everybody's daughters, were also invited to the party. They were running around
oh.
and dancing. Everyone was in dresses, and we were just having a fabulous time.
That's my phone, and this other phone. Hold on 1 second here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the phone. Anyhow, can you run through, like, what your instructions are? I mean, I'm looking at fall harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you start, of all things, with color. Well, you have the beautiful table set up. Of course, the photograph is wonderful. And you have a little what do you call it, introduction, which sets the tone for the whole thing. It's autumn, and the leaves are going to sleep. And you're a poet as well, I gather. It's very poetic. And then you go into color, blooms, what you'll need. Now, that's a godsend right there, right up front, what you're going to need. And then what is the details?
Well, you know, for the details, I think that we get intimidated, right, when we try to think of a tablescape as one big picture. And it's important to me that we break it down into bite-sized pieces. You know, it's kind of like the story, would you sit down to a big chocolate cake and eat it all in one bite? No, you would take a little bite at a time. And it's the same idea for menu planning for the holidays as well as tablescapes. So the small details for me.
I'm sorry about this. This is, hold on. I'm doing an interview. Okay. He usually runs this program, and he's not available, so I think he feels left out.
Oh, no, it's no problem at all. But
I can't. I'm not technical and savvy enough to know how to do the cell phone, hook it into the online or into the conference call. Can't do it.
No worries at all.
All right.
But to go back to the sort
details.
The details. So when we start thinking about color, light, and texture, those are the items that we're talking about, like the floral centerpieces. What colors are we going to use to translate for the season? So that color tells a story, right? So if we were in at Christmas time, red and green, that tells us that it's Christmas. I wouldn't use that in the springtime for an Easter dinner. So we land on color, we landed on texture, which is part of the details of like woven placemats or perhaps sparkling.
Yeah, I like that texture thing, which nobody ever talks about. I think that's genius. Yeah, it's genius.
Thank you. And then lighting, for me, is always candlelight, but we have different types of candlelight. Do we have fat beeswax pillars on chunky wooden candlesticks, or do we have really elegant long tapers and silver candlesticks? And then those details are really about creating small objects of art and odd-numbered pairings, which is what I call the rule of three, which is a interior
design. Right. I think that's genius, too. I mean, I never thought of it, but it's true. That people don't like even numbers. They like the three.
Correct. We're hardwired to be attracted to odd numbers.
Why, I
usually
wonder.
3 to 5. I have no idea, but it works.
And I read that. I thought, you know, it's true, but why? You know?
I think that we like being able to have the eye travel. So if we have an even number, the eye sort of stops. But with an odd, we were keeping the eye traveling down the table to the next sequence of items. And I think that's a really important facet of table setting is yes, we want to, you know, really, really fill that table with art and light and flowers, but we also don't want to overstimulate the eye. We want places of negative space where the eye can rest. And with this technique, you'll never end up with a cluttered table. So the rule of three is so important. It could be three votive candles together. It could be a mix of fruit, piece of fruit like apples and pears and pomegranates together. Or it could even be repurposed Christmas ornaments that might serve to decorate your table at any given holiday. But the rule of three is just so easy to follow.
Well, you know, this eye movement thing, I used to teach in art history class. And you know, that's something that's overlooked a lot for people who are into art history, is that part of the composition really depends on the success of the painting, depends on eye movement, focus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's part of the photography technique, too, which I do have to mention that my husband, Jonathan Ross, was my partner on this project. He photographed the entire book.
Oh, is he the photographer? He did a fabulous job.
He is my
job.
Photographer. Thank you. But it's the same elements. It's we like odd numbers, and the rule of thirds is another element, or, you know, the golden ratio. And fine art, you see it all the time. So why not bring it to your table? Because that is definitely a place to create art.
Right. Well, you know, did I mention you also get creative and more adventurous in your drinks? You have a lot of specialty drinks in here, which are also as creative as the food. How did you figure that out? You must have had to drink a lot.
Well, no, actually, you know, the life of a professional ballerina is quite strict. We weren't really drinking that much, but, you know, I have to make up for lost time. But I look at those, like, layering flavors in a dessert or a main dish. And so for me, creating these drinks is about balance. So when I create a cocktail, unlike a lot of, you know, bars or restaurants, I want flavors that are balanced and that are creative and that you want to keep sipping. I don't want a cocktail that's going to, you know, slap you around and call you Susie. I want something that you're drinking and be able to replicate at home. So nothing in this cookbook, and I am quite serious here, that between the techniques, the ingredients, and the dishes themselves, this is something that any home cook can create, and you can find these ingredients at any grocery store. Because in the end, I want to really encourage and create confidence in home cooks and home entertainers, those budding home entertainers at home, to be able to really replicate and then build on these menus.
See, well, you answered my next question already. Is like, what is the purpose of this book? I mean, what do you hope it will accomplish? And you just told me.
Absolutely. I want to see more parties. I want to see more gatherings and really spending time with our loved ones, because we could go out to a restaurant anytime, but it's truly special when you can have all the people you love around your table that you created with food and drink that you made.
Right. Now, I see you included a French 77. That's making a comeback, I think, right?
It is. It is. Yeah, it's a classic drink. It's only three ingredients.
Yeah, and we made that. We did a bridal shower for my best friend at one point, and we had a wonderful antique. Well, I mean, I hate to tell you what it really was that we used for the punch bowl. It was a gazunder. Do you know what that is?
Yes, I do.
An antique one. It looked very nice. We didn't talk about what it was. You know? But boy, they went fast because they're easy to down. I was getting a little worried about the aftermath of our little cocktail party.
Oh, that's
dear.
The mark of a good party.
Well, I love parties. So, well, anyhow, in the process of this, how long did it take, by the way? I'd love to find out how long it took.
Oh, absolutely. It was unusual. The entire book was finished and published a year from the manuscript being submitted. So really, just over a year, the entire thing was done and dusted. And it was a marathon. And it was so exciting and so creatively fulfilling. I can't wait to write another one.
Oh, really? Good. That's good. I mean, I did one. It was a chef's cookbook. And the chef was kind of a pain. I hope he's not listening.
Well, I try not to be, and I think it helps when I hand people a cocktail. That greases a lot of wheels.
Yeah, but, I mean, I used to wake up in the middle of the night worrying about a measurement, you know, which is not me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I decided one cook was enough. I'd never write another one. But you're already primed for your next one. I hope you'll keep us in mind and let us know, because this
always.
One's a winner. And
I wish you
much success with this, Jesse Sierra Ross. Listeners, again, get a hold of this book, and you won't be at a loss at any of our big seasonal occasions. It's called Seasons Around the Table, and it's so warm and inviting, the book itself, that you're going to feel like the ultimate hostess if you do this. Or host. I mean, hosts could do this, too. So, again, thank you so much, and keep us in mind for your next book that you're already working on.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.